Be seated. We're in a series called The Blessed Life. We're looking at the first part of the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount by our Lord and Savior. And that sermon's actually found in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. And we're just taking the first few verses in Matthew chapter 5 and looking at what are called the Beatitudes. In these Beatitudes, the Lord gives us some keys on how to live a happy life. Now, if you look at this, this is what we've talked about already. We're in week 6 of our study, a couple more weeks to go, because there's 8 keys here, 8 Beatitudes. And if you look at these, and Jesus says this, this is a way for you to be happy. This is a way for you to experience happiness in life. You'll look at this, and first glance, you're going to think, poor in spirit, mourn, weak, meek, hunger and thirst for righteousness, merciful. Doesn't look like a way to be happy. But it's a promise given to us from the Word of God. When Jesus said blessed, He's basically saying this. It's the same word for happy. Jesus is saying, happy are you. First of all, are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed or happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed or happy are the merciful, and we talked about that last week, for they shall obtain mercy. And then we come to our text verse today in verse 8. Here's what Scripture says. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, on this Mother's Day, I couldn't be more thrilled to spend a little time on this topic because I think it fits the description of a godly mother to a T. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, I want you to understand something. This is not a message devoted just entirely and solely for mothers, but it's a message that is applicable to all of us. It's something that we can apply to our hearts and our lives, because Jesus said this, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Our culture has just absolutely gone crazy, are obsessed with appearance, on how you look. We're all about image today. But the Bible makes it clear that God couldn't care less about how you look. I mean, God's not interested in your appearance as much as you are. Now, that's important, and I understand that. But He's not as interested in your achievements, your accomplishments. He's not interested so much in how much education that you have, how much wealth that you might have. All of these things are important. But I want to tell you, God's not really interested in how popular you might be or how famous that you might become. But I'm going to tell you what He's really interested in. He's really interested in the health of your heart. He's really interested on what's going on inside of you. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today, because God cares a whole lot about the real you, the what's happening inside of you. These other things that we've talked about, they're important and certainly in the rightful place. We're going to do our very best to live for the Lord and honor the Lord and all of these things and all these areas that I just mentioned. But I'm going to tell you something. He's really concerned about your heart health. So much so that the Bible says this in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, it says, for the Lord does not see as man sees, because what we see is the outward appearance, right? When I look at you, I see a beautiful bunch of mothers here. I see a handsome group of men here. I see just a wonderful, lovely group of people here. But the Lord, it says this, He doesn't see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So today we come to the sixth of the Beatitudes, and it's ways to be blessed. And He says this once again in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, what in the world does that mean? How am I to understand this? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What does it mean to be pure in heart? What does it mean when it says they shall see God? Well, first of all, let me talk to you just a bit about what it means to see God. And what it means to see God and what this verse is talking about, and it says, blessed are those who are pure in heart. It's the ones that are in a relationship with God. It's the ones that are able to get up close to God. have a working relationship and have a special relationship with God. That means this, that they get to experience the presence of God in their own life. That means this, that they get to feel the power of God in their life. That means this, that they get to know the purpose of God for their life. They get to experience the peace of God, and they get to rejoice in the pardon of God. So when it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, it's the ones that have a relationship with the Lord. I'm so praying that you've already settled that in your heart and your life. You've established that relationship with the Lord. That's something that you've already settled in your heart and your life. You're as sure as heaven is as if you spent last night there. I'm praying that's the case. But if it's not, then there would be no better day, no better time to know the Lord than right now. So God says, blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. All right, so let's talk about what does it mean to be pure in heart. What does it mean to be pure in heart? Now, that's a term that we don't use a lot today. We don't say, look at her, she's got a pure heart. You know, that's not what we don't talk like that today. Look at him, his heart's pure. How do you know what his heart looks like? You know, it's something, the term pure in heart means this. It means integrity. It means blameless. And we're going to use the word integrity today because the Bible uses the word integrity a lot. So what does it mean to have integrity? What does it mean to be pure in heart? If God says, I'll bless those who are pure in heart, I'll bless those who have integrity, what does that mean? How does that even play out in our lives? I can tell you this, it doesn't mean that you're sinless. It doesn't mean that you're perfect. It doesn't mean that you do not make any mistakes, because we all make mistakes. If we had to be perfect, if that was one of the prerequisites, and if that was contingent upon us having a life of integrity, we had to live a perfect life, we would not fit the bill, because there is none of us that are perfect. We've all sinned and we've come short of the glory of God. So that's not what it's talking about here. It's not talking about being perfect. It's not talking about being sinless. So what does it mean to be pure in heart? So let me try to explain this if I can to you. God is more interested in the direction of your heart than He is in the sins that you commit. Now, they're tied together, because I'm going to talk about that in just a few moments. He's more interested in your attitude than He is in your actions. He's more interested in why you do what you do than what you do. So what is integrity? The Bible tells us there are a great number of people throughout Scripture that were people of integrity. For example, the Bible tells us that Noah was a man of integrity. The Bible tells us that Abraham was a man of integrity. David had integrity. Moses had integrity. Paul had integrity. And yet none of these guys were perfect, were they? As a matter of fact, I want to talk just a little bit about David. We're going to mention him a time or two throughout this message this morning. But let's just take David for example. The king and the second king of Israel, and the greatest of all the kings of Israel. Scripture says this, that David was a man after God's own heart. And yet you know a little bit about David's story, and you read that and you go, what's he talking about? I mean, here's a guy that lusted after a woman. Here's a guy that had an extramarital affair with a woman. Here is a guy that becomes the father of a child out of, he's having this affair with this other woman. They're expecting a child now. Here is a guy, now listen to me, here's a guy that has this woman's husband killed. And yet we read the story of David and we find that God says that David's a man after my own heart. And we think, how in the world can David be a man after God's heart when he's committed all of these things and he's done all of these things? He one time pretended that he was mentally ill and insane, trying to get out of something. There were just a number of things, all kinds of weird things that David did. And so he was certainly not perfect. But God looks at David and God says this about David. Yeah, he's a mess, but he's a man after my own heart. Now, I want us to have a heart for God. I want to have a heart for God. That's my heart's desire and prayer to God and plea to God, to have a heart for God. I want that for myself, but I want that for you as well. I want that for Daystar Church. I want that for every mother here, every person here. I want that for you. So let's try to define what pure in heart and or integrity means. So if you got your Daystar card in front of you and you're ready to jot down a few notes, here's the first thing that you can jot down. Three things here as we talk about what it means to be a person of integrity. And the first one is this: integrity is wholeness. Integrity is wholeness. It means that you don't divide up your life into different segments and in different parts. Your life is one whole. We get the word integrity from the word integer. Now, remember in math, integer is a whole number. It's not a fraction. It's not a decimal. It's a whole number. So integer means this. It means whole. And integrity means that your life as a whole is a whole. So we get the word integration from the word integer or integrity. Now, integration means this. It means it's the opposite of segregation. Segregation means this, that we divide. One thing or another. We divide people. Whatever it is that you're dividing, that's segregation. Integration means this, that we're a part of the same family. We're a part of the whole. That means that we don't think the same. We don't look the same. We don't act the same. We don't smell the same. We don't talk the same. But we're part, as children of God, we're part of the whole family of God. That's part of integrity. So when you segregate in your life, you don't have integrity like you should have. And a lot of people, you know, kind of look at life as this. It's kind of like different slices of a piece of pie. You know, you have one slice of life that might fit your career, one slice of life that might fit your church life, one slice for your spiritual life, for your family life, for your friendship life, for your social life, for your sports life, for your secret life that nobody knows anything about. If you segment your life like that, you lack integrity. Integrity is not parts of the pie. For purpose, illustration purposes, it's this. It's the filling in the pie. It's the whole. It means you're exactly the same with everybody that you come in contact with, no matter who you come in contact with. You don't change. You don't pretend. So if you're going to be a person of integrity, it's talking about the whole person, the whole ball of wax as far as life is concerned. Here's the second thing you can jot down. Integrity means this. It means authenticity. It means this. It means that you're real. You're just going to keep it real. You're not fake. You're not pretending. You are exactly who you are, and who you appear to be. If you have integrity, you act the same. It just doesn't matter. That is that you would act the same way with your neighbors as you would with a government official. Let's say the mayor of Lenoir City, Tony Akins. You just act the same. You don't put on a facade. You don't act any differently. You are the same. It's not like I'm trying to be one way with one group of people, another way with another group of people. That's exactly the opposite of integrity. You lack authenticity. Integrity means this, that you don't pretend to be something that you're not. So it's wholeness, it's authenticity, and here's the third thing, jot this down. Integrity means unmixed motivation. Unmixed motivation. Now, what in the world are we talking about there? That means this, that you do the right thing, but you do it for the right reason. You do the right thing, but you do it for the right motive and in the right motive. Unmixed motivation. It means you're sincere. It means you're straightforward. It means you're pure in heart. So pure in heart, you don't have a mixed motive for doing certain things. You're doing it for the right reason. All right? So we're talking about being a person of integrity. And again, sometimes we're more interested in image, but God's interested in integrity. Sometimes we're more interested in reputation, but God's more interested in our character. Reputation is what you want people to think about you. Integrity is what you are when nobody else is around. So we are to be people of integrity. God says, blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are those who have integrity, for they shall see God. Now, there's a couple of things that I want to share with you this morning, and I want to share this first part of Proverbs, first part of this verse in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7. Scripture says this, the righteous man walks in his integrity. What we just talked about, his wholeness, his authenticity, unmixed motivation. This is how a person of integrity walks and acts. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7. We'll read the rest of that verse here in just a few moments. So there's two things that I want to do for you today as far as the message is concerned. I'm praying that you open up your mind, you receive what God has for you as far as the Word. You let it take root downward in your heart and your life so it can bear fruit upward and outward in your heart and your life. So here's the first thing that I want to do. I want us to look at some benefits of being a person of integrity. There's so many benefits in Scripture, but I only want us to look at three. I'm going to give you three promises that if you will be a person of integrity, then God is going to bless you. God's going to use you in a very special way. So that's the first thing. I want to look at some benefits of being a person of integrity. And then the second thing I want to do is I want to just kind of give you a little checklist, and this is going to go quickly at the end. I'll give you a little bit of a checklist on how to be a person of integrity. All right, so let's talk about three benefits real quick. Here's the first one. Jot it down. Three blessings that come from being a person of integrity. And that is personal confidence. You live with a different kind of confidence when you're not trying to be something that you're not. You live with a different kind of confidence when you're just being you. You live with a different kind of confidence when you're not pretending. You're not being fake. You're just you. You're not one way with one group of people or one person and then another way with another group of people or another person. You are who you are. You live with a different confidence. In Scripture, I love the way this is pictured in Scripture. It says this in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 9, "He who walks with integrity walks securely." In other words, we're standing on solid ground. We're walking on solid ground when we walk in integrity. But notice now, here's the opposite of that. Here's the contrast to that. "But he who perverts his way will become known." So when I'm walking in integrity, I'm walking and I'm standing on solid ground. Integrity gives you a different kind of confidence. Check out this verse, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3. "The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful is going to do something. It's going to destroy you." Alright, you can walk with integrity and be a person of integrity and be blessed by God and be happy in life. That is one of the keys that God gives us through His message, or through the Lord gives us through His message on the Sermon on the Mount. Is blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. He says this, the integrity of the upright is going to guide them. But now watch this. The contrast of that is this, the perversity of the unfaithful is going to destroy them. It is going to ruin them. It's going to destroy, it's going to wreck, it's going to destroy them. Integrity will guide you. It'll keep you on the right path. So blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are those with integrity. Here's the second benefit of being a person of integrity. You're going to build a lasting legacy. You're going to have a lasting legacy. And I love this. I love this. And I'll go so far as to say this. Your greatest legacy is your integrity. Your greatest legacy that you'll leave is your integrity. Because it's a legacy that's going to last from generation to generation. Everything else that we do, it kind of gets lost. All the trophies, all the accolades, all of the things that we might consider important right now and different accomplishments, I'm going to tell you something, they're all going to pass away. All the trophies that you've earned in life, they're going to be taken out and thrown in the trash one of these days and taken to the nearest dump. But integrity that you have, the character that you have, it's going to be translated into the lives of the people that you come in contact with. Here's the rest of that verse that I told you I was going to share with you a minute ago. It says this in Proverbs 20, verse 7, "The righteous man walks in his integrity," but get this, I love this, it says his children are going to be blessed after him. You want blessings on your children? Be a person of integrity. Mom, be a mom of integrity. Dad, be a dad of integrity. Hey, students, be students of integrity. Young people, be young people of integrity. And God's going to bless you as a result of that. There is a lasting legacy that's going to be built. A lot of us know the story of Job in the Old Testament. And Job was a man that was a very wealthy man. He had accumulated a lot of things in his life, a lot of possessions, a lot of wealth. He had a large family. But Job lost everything in just a matter of a few short hours. He lost his family. He lost all of his possessions. He lost all of his wealth in just a matter of a few hours. So he's got three friends and they're trying to comfort him. And they come to him and one of the three friends offers this advice to Job. And I put it on the screen for you. And it says this in Job chapter 8. One of his friends said, "Job, if you would earnestly seek God and make your supplication to the Almighty, if you were," and I've highlighted this part here for you, pure in heart, if you were upright, he says, surely now God would awake for you and prosper your rightful dwelling place, though your beginning was small. Now wait a minute. Job was one of the wealthiest men in all the land. And his friend's saying, though your beginning was small, notice this, your latter end is going to increase abundantly. Meaning there's going to be more in the end than there was in the beginning. So Job just decided he was going to be a man of integrity through a difficult time. Because of that, God blessed him and blessed him abundantly. Some of you have gone through a tough time in life. Some of you may have even lost some of your integrity in the past. I want you to look at me and I want you to understand something. That your life is not over. There's still more to the story that can be written. Your life is not over. You are building a lasting legacy. And I want you to understand something, that when Scripture says, blessed are the pure in heart, God is saying, blessed are the people with integrity. And I want us so to be people of integrity. So we will have this personal confidence. We'll have a lasting legacy. Here's the third and final benefit that I want to share with you this morning, and that is this. It leads to eternal rewards. Rewards in eternity. Now, this is, in one sense, the greatest blessing, because all of this that we've talked about, living a life of integrity, is going to be rewarded in eternity. Notice what Scripture says in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21. Roberta prayed this just a few minutes ago. And she's talking about moms standing before the Lord and hearing these words. And I'm opening it up not just to moms, but I'm opening it up to everyone who is a follower of Jesus Christ, want to live and honor the Lord and live a life of integrity. It'd be great to hear the Lord say these words to us one day. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, and I've highlighted that because I want to point out something to you here. Interject the word small there where the word few is. Small things. He says, I'll make you a ruler over many things, or a lot of things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Now notice this. It's the few things. It's the small things. It's the small moments where you're going to show integrity that's going to last. It's not just the big moments of life. It's every small, kind word of encouragement that you offer. It's going to be rewarded in heaven. It's every small kindness that you exhibit towards someone, it's going to be rewarded in heaven. It's every time you reject a temptation, you're going to be rewarded in heaven. It's every time you pray a small prayer of faith, you're going to be rewarded for it in heaven. That's the power of living a life of integrity. That's the difference that integrity makes. It's going to last forever. The blessing of integrity. I was reading a story about a pretty famous pastor, and this pastor he said that he was doing some yard work in his backyard, and he noticed there was a bare spot, and he just kind of hoped that that bare spot would kind of take root and become green like the rest of the lawn. For some reason, that bare spot just kind of grew, and it was getting bigger, and he didn't like that, so he wanted to do something about it. So he thought, man, one of the things that I can do is I'll just run down to Home Depot and I'll pick up some sod, you know, the squares of dirt, and I'll just lay the sod down over the bare spots there. And so he gets to Home Depot and he goes in and he asks about the sod. They tell him where it's at, and he says, well, here's what I need. I've counted it out. I need 22 pieces of sod. And so he pays for 22 pieces of sod. They tell him it's on the side of the building. Just pull his car over there. He can load it himself. And so he pays for it. He goes out and gets in his car, takes it over to where the sod is, and he opens the trunk and he starts loading the sod. And he's counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then he starts to think, what if 22 is not enough? What if I need 24? And he's counting now, and he's thinking these thoughts in his mind, and He's looking at the pile and it's kind of diminishing, and he's thinking, you know what? There's only going to be a few more pieces left after I get all these, all 22 pieces loaded. What if I need 24? The thought, he said, entered my mind, just take a couple of extra pieces. Nobody will see you. He said, if you don't take them, you're going to have to go back, get in your car, take it back to the parking lot, get out of your car, go back in the Home Depot, pay for the extra sod, come back out of the parking lot, get in your car, take your car to where the sod is, and load two more pieces. He said, nobody's going to see you. Or he said, I'm thinking, nobody's going to see you if you just load two more pieces of sod. He said, it was then that I stepped back and I began to laugh a little bit, and I was laughing out loud in the parking lot. And he said, I thought about the integrity issue. And he said, I'm facing the integrity issue of God or sod. He said, am I going to give up my integrity for a couple of square pieces of dirt? And he said, absolutely not. 22 pieces, he shut his trunk, got in his car, went home. A happy man because of the integrity that he demonstrated. The choices we make, the small choices for eternity, it changes life not only for here and now, but it changes life for eternity as well. Okay, so how do we get this integrity? How do we become a people of integrity? Remember I told you about David? I want to give you a psalm that David wrote, a portion of this psalm. And read five verses here, Psalm 15. So if you have your Bibles and you want to turn there, electronic device, however you get to Scripture. I want to read Psalm chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. David's going to give several characteristics of a person of integrity. All right? And Psalm 15, beginning with verse 1, here's what Scripture says. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle, or who may dwell in your holy hill? In other words, who gets to live in your presence, God? Who gets to come into your presence? Who gets to experience your power? Who gets to understand your peace? God, who gets to be your friend? And then David's going to list eight characteristics of a person of integrity. And here they are in the next few verses here. It says, and he who walks, verse 2, uprightly, works righteousness, speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. In whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. In verse 5, he who does not put out his money at usury, or charge interest for it, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. In other words, David's given us some examples here of a person of a person with integrity. If you want to have security in your life, make sure you have integrity in your life. If you want to have stability in your life, make sure you're a person of integrity. If you want to have confidence in your life, make sure you're a person of integrity. So what I want to do in just these few remaining moments is I want to give you kind of a checklist. And there are five of them. These are going to go quick, okay? I promise. These will go quick. But I want to give you kind of a checklist on how you can be a person of integrity. And five areas of your life from the Bible where we need integrity, all right? Here's the first thing. You can jot it down. And that is verbal integrity. Verbal integrity. Be people of integrity who keep their word. How about an amen right there? I was thinking as I was preparing this message of some potential lies that you might hear. Some potential lies that you might hear. Here's one. The check is in the... Young people look at me and they say, what in the world are you talking about? What's a check? You know? Mm-hmm. The check's in the mail. Here's another one. Here's another potential lie that you might hear from time to time. I'm on my way. you ain't even left yet. You're not on your way. You what? See, there you go. Potential lie. Sister Gina. Here's another one. I'll call you later. Never hear from him. Here's another potential lie that you might hear from time to time, and that is this in a marriage relationship. What's wrong with you? Nothing's wrong with me, you know? Get that little head bob thing going. You know something's up when that head bob thing's going. All right, let's go to Scripture. Here we go. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight. Psalm 34:13, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. So my question is this morning, what promises have you made that you've not kept? And you need to keep them for integrity's sake. Have you made promises to your kids? Broken promises are the number one cause of bitterness in children. But mom, you said. But dad, you said. How about, have you made a promise to your spouse about something you're going to do and haven't done yet? How about, have you made God a promise? A spiritual vow, a promise to God, and you haven't kept it? We become a person and we become a people of integrity by keeping our promises. Verbal integrity. Second thing, financial integrity. Financial integrity. And I just imagine right now there's some thoughts going through some of you, some of your minds right now. You're gonna talk about that on Mother's Day? We're going to mention it, all right? We're going to be people of integrity. Financial integrity. Do I trust God with my finances? Do I trust Him? God wants His people to be marked by financial integrity. Money's on almost everyone's mind. We wonder whether we'll have enough to make the ends meet at the end of the month. And some people, they wonder if there's enough to make the ends meet at the end of the week. And for some people, they wonder if there's enough money to make the ends meet at the end of the day. So financial integrity. There's nothing wrong or evil about having or using money. Where we sometimes miss the mark and we go astray is how we use it and why it becomes so important to us. Here's what Scripture says. Luke chapter 12, verse 34, for where your treasure is, there will your heart will be also. You know, the Lord talks a lot about money in Scripture. I mean, a lot in Scripture. Half of Jesus' parables dealt with financial situations. So it's a very important thing here. If we're going to be people of integrity, we're going to have to be people of financial integrity. What we believe always influences how we handle money. And what we have to understand is this. God owns it all anyway. It's all His anyway. Because Scripture says so. Notice what it says in Psalm chapter 24, verse 1. It says, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. Everything that we consider ours is not ours. He allows us to be stewards of it. It all belongs to Him. It's all His. And God's master plan for financial peace and financial integrity, and I'm just going to mention this, and then we're done with this. But God wants us to be people of integrity and honor Him with the first 10% of it, because that's what He says for us to do in His Word. So, that means that giving is a test of integrity. And here's what Scripture says, Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you, God? And God says, in tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Then verse 10, it says, bring all the tithes to the storehouse, to the church house, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this. Now, I want you to understand who's saying this. God says, try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. He says, if I'll not open up the windows of heaven and I'll pour out such blessings that there will not be room enough for you to receive them. And for those of you who know this to be true and you practice this, you can say a hearty amen right there. Not my words, God's words, God's promise to His children. And that is this. God says, I dare you to trust me in this. I dare you to put me first in your finances. Trust me in this. Lord doesn't, He's not asking for money because He needs anything. It all belongs to Him anyway, right? It's all His anyway. He just wants us to be obedient, to have integrity in financial matters. Number three, let's move on. Another area of integrity, and that's relational integrity. You become a person of integrity by being real with others. We've talked about this already. You're authentic. You're genuine. You don't act one way in church, another way when you're outside of church. You're genuine. You're real all the time. You're not perfect. You're not sinless. You make mistakes. We all do, but your heart's in the right direction. And you're real with people. You're not trying to be something that you're not. You're real with people. Check this verse out. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. But we have renounced the hidden things, Paul says, of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. But here's the part that I want you to understand and see. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Relational integrity. That means that we are real, we're authentic, we don't talk about, or we're not one way with one group of people, then turn around and talk about that group of people, stab them in the back, throw them under the bus. Not always talking about, you're real. You're going to be a person of integrity, you're going to have relational integrity. There's a great need in our world today for men and women and young people of integrity. Here's the fourth one, and that's vocational integrity. Having integrity where you work. Some people work hard when the boss is around. When the boss or supervisor is not around, we might not work as hard as we would when they are around. But a person of integrity is going to work hard, and a person of integrity is going to work well with others. Let me show you a few verses in Scripture. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 9. He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. It's a test of integrity. Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, it says this, bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. So we're going to have integrity in the place we work. Michael, come on, because this is the last one. And this is one that if we'll just put it first, and I've got it last on the list, but if we'll just put it first, all of these others will just fall right in place. Here it is. You can jot it down. And that's spiritual integrity. In a world that is absolutely obsessed with appearance and with image, how in the world do you keep it real with the people that you come in contact with? How do you become a person of integrity? Having a relationship with God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Have a relationship with God. And then just make up your mind. Settle it in your heart. You're going to be a person of integrity. One of the ways that you can do that, and this is the way that I'm going to end today, and it's with this verse. Psalm 119 in verse 9, Scripture says this. How can a young man cleanse his way? How can we be a people of integrity? One way, by taking heed to the Word of God. So we're going to live by the principles that are found in the Word of God. God doesn't expect you to close your Bibles. I'm finished. Let me talk to you just for a second. God doesn't expect you to be perfect, but He does expect you to be a person of integrity. I've told you guys this before when I started confessing my shortcomings. They say that confession is good for the soul, but it's bad for the reputation. I'm telling you. So let me speak to you from my heart just for a second. I don't always get it right. Your pastor is a very flawed individual. I make a lot of mistakes. I sin. I'm not always as unselfish as I want to be, but I try to be. I'm not always kind to everybody. And Roberta will tell you that, especially behind the wheel, it's getting worse and worse when people just do stupid things, you know? Drive it.
It's okay.
Thank you, Brian. I'm not always kind to everybody. I'm not always kind to everybody, but I want to be. I don't always give my best in everything, but I want to. In the deepest part of my heart, in spite of my own sinfulness, I don't always do the right thing, but I want to. So fortunately, when God looks at me, God doesn't say, "What a loser, what a failure, why did he fall for that one again?" Instead, God looks at me and He says, there's a guy that doesn't always get it right, but there's a guy who has a heart for me, and I'm going to bless him for it. God's more interested in your heart . You're never going to be perfect. You're never going to be sinless. But you can sin less by being a person of integrity. So we've kind of defined integrity, pure in heart. We've kind of looked at some benefits of being pure in heart. And we've kind of looked at a checklist on how we can demonstrate integrity. And on this special day, this Mother's Day, if there is a verse that describes a godly mother, to me it's this one. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If there is a verse that describes a child of God walking in integrity, it's this verse. Blessed, because he says this, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You want to live a happy life? All of us, we all want to do that. Then be a person of integrity. Because happy are you if you're a person of integrity. Let's bow our heads and pray about that this morning.